Hi, and welcome to Becoming Less, an Edmontonian journey to less waste, less impact, less consumption, and less clutter. Becoming Less is brought to you by Waste Free Edmonton, and together we're dedicated to waste reduction efforts, big and small. I'm Biz.
And I'm Emma.
And today, Emma and I are going to talk about pets.
Da-da-da-da!
I have cats, and you have dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So we're definitely going to be focusing on those animals. I don't know anything about horses. So, you know, if I know a little bit of like guinea pigs and hamsters and stuff, very little about fish. Yeah. So it's mostly just going to be cats and dogs today. But if anyone listening wants to chime in on their own pets and what they do to reduce their waste and impact, we'd love to hear about it.
Absolutely.
Disclaimer, I actually used to own a pet store.
That's so interesting. I had absolutely no idea. I was just saying Biz of many lives. So you were saying you used to groom dogs?
Yeah. And cats. I was pretty good at shaving cats as well. And that was one thing that the others were happy to pass on to me, that like my employees were like, I don't want to touch cats. But so I do have a fairly good knowledge about like dogs and cats, especially, and how they are taken care of and that sort of thing. So What would you say is the biggest wasteful part of owning a dog?
Well, you see, Biz, there's wasteful parts of owning like regular dogs, and then there are different wasteful aspects of owning my particular dog. So Millie is a medium-sized non-shedding dog that we rescued. Turns out she's actually the biggest dog I've ever owned, and she sheds more than any animal I've ever met in my life. And she has extremely destructive tendencies.
Oh dear.
I gave her own hashtag on Instagram, and it's hashtag things Millie ate. Spoiler alert, it's everything. So like, she's chewed one of the backs of our couch cushions. She likes to unstuff and destroy things. So honestly, for me, the most wasteful stuff is the stuff that's not actually meant to be associated with pets and pet waste. It's my stuff. And the biggest thing I can do there is make sure, you know, she's walked, we take her to the off leash, let her run like a crazy thing.
Yeah.
Because when she has all that pent up energy, I find is when she creates the most.
If most you would like way. Someone to come groom your dog, I would be more than happy to. I still have equipment to do such things.
I might have to take you up on that. I took her to be groomed once because, I mean, I used to brush her every single day. We introduced Bruce into our family. He's our little robot vacuum. He's the shark brand. So we named him Bruce from Finding Nemo. Because he's got those little brushes that like sweep the dust under him. So he looks like a little fish swimming around the house.
I like it.
So the girls get along great with Bruce, and it's really helped like minimize the amount of dog fur. But I mean, we took her to be groomed once, and I think it like loosened up, or maybe it was between seasons, because for one day she wasn't shedding as much. And then after that, it was almost like she was shedding more.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just
really depends, like, depends on how it's done.
Yeah.
My sister, one of her standard poodles did take half her couch off one time.
Oh, no.
She also,
what did she do?
Thankfully it was like the not quite outside room couch.
Okay,
so it wasn't like the main couch in their nice living area. But they had to like lock her away because a plumber came in or something. So they put her in that room. And when they opened the door again, half the couch was gone. They were like, what?
Yeah, I know that feeling. With my couch, it was, we actually have an IKEA couch where you can remove the cushion covers and put them in the washing machine and then put them back on, which is great for if you own pets. And IKEA is generally great with having spare parts. Like if something gets broken or destroyed, you can go to the customer service counter and they'll have like an extra screw. You can buy just a shelf. But with this couch, the only extra cushions were like with the couch itself. There was no way to get it as a spare part.
Oh, IKEA is usually really good about that. It's one thing I like about IKEA is you can usually just buy like one part of your furniture if something gets ruined.
Yeah. Not the case with this couch. I was super bummed. But yeah, so I had all of the covers off and this beautiful, glorious, white, fluffy cloud pillow was just exposed to the world. And I went, I actually needed to step out for a second. I let Ryan know, like, the girls are loose. I am going out. I'll be back in like 45 minutes. Please leave the office door open so you can hear if they get into any trouble. Because he was working.
Right.
I come home, the office door is closed, and there is stuffing everywhere. And tried to replace it, couldn't. But thankfully, actually, the patio furniture cushions, I can fit two IKEA patio furniture cushions in one couch cover. Oh. So that's what I did. So I was able to replace it that way. But I posted, I was looking at my Buy Nothing group, if anybody else had like just a spare cushion, like maybe they used to have this couch and they don't anymore. And a few people in there were saying, what I did is I just got some like fancy throw pillows and I have them on the back. So the back of their couch didn't actually have like a back cushion, but it still looked cute and served its function. I guess there are a couple, you could have just found a different pillow, I guess, and mismatched, but yeah.
What about normal pet stuff?
Normal pet stuff. Prior to us talking, I kind of clumped it down. I had four categories I wanted to talk about, one of which was my things that are not meant to be destroyed. So I had food, treats, and toys. But then listening to you talk about grooming at the start of this episode, I started to add another one because another category would be like the amount of fur and like putting that. Now it's great. We have our green bin. We can put all of the dog fur in our green bins for people that don't compost at home. But even thinking of like the fur and the stuff that gets on your clothes, don't use like the disposable lint back rollers. You know what I mean? That wasn't even on my radar sitting down to have this conversation with you. But I think pet related waste is one of those things where like you start thinking and then you realize like, oh, and then it affects that and it affects that and it affects that.
Let's segue into toys because we were talking about dogs destroying things.
Yeah.
And I want to emphasize, as someone who used to own a pet store, that this is perfectly normal behavior and it's good for their mental health. Now, we need to target that to something that is not problematic, which is why we buy dogs toys.
Yep.
100%. But people get so upset that their dog toys don't last. And unfortunately, when you own a dog, especially a rough dog, like one with who's rough with their toys or wants to eat a couch. Dog toys are disposable items. They're consumables. Mm-hmm. They're not something that's going to last the entire dog's life. You can't explain to a dog that they need to take good care of this because it's the only one they get. What they're doing is they're reverting back to their instincts because in order to eat, they had to kill. And so they kill their toys and they kill couches. So that is where that comes from. So it's not bad. It just needs to be directed to something acceptable. Yeah. So that being said, not really encouraging buying cheap stuffies that are just going to get thrown out every other week either. So where do we go from there? What?
I think it's what I really love about like having a dog and dogs in general really is how much personality they have and how different they all are. And like Coco, so I've got Coco and Millie. Coco used to nurse, like she would have a stuffed animal and she would nurse it for months. It would go everywhere with her. She would give it little baths. She would cuddle with it. It would be her pillow. And like clockwork, after about 3 months, it was time for baby to die. And she went into unstuffing mode and it would not be safe. And we'd always be like, Coco, that was your baby. That was your favorite. What are you doing?
Yeah.
So I find honestly with stuffies, when it was just Coco, it wasn't that bad and that we weren't having to replace them every couple of weeks. Like we would get away with a couple stuffies a year. With Millie, though, now that we have two dogs, I think that instinct kicks in a lot faster. And Stuffies last a day now, so that's not as feasible with Stuffies. I also have an 11-year-old stepson, and he still has loads of Stuffies, and he loves them, but he doesn't really play with them. And we used to joke when Millie was a puppy, she'd saunter into his room when he wouldn't be looking and gingerly choose one toy that would be the next victim, bring it out of his room. So we used to call his room the toy store, much to his dismay. But now we're at a point where she doesn't take his Stuffies unless he gives her one. And every couple of months, he'll like choose one of his Stuffies that either he's done with or he thinks he'll enjoy.
That's kind of lovely. Because, okay, cute, right? So if you are someone who wants to get Stuffies for your dog, kids who grow out of them, that is a good way for them to die.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you know, they're always her favorite because they smell like him. She loves them.
Rather than getting the dog toys at the pet store, why not go and get Stuffies from a thrift store? Because there's always Stuffies at thrift stores.
Yeah.
There's always Stuffies at thrift stores.
One of the things I wanted to talk to you about, actually, I didn't finish in time because, as I told you previously, I think just in one of our private conversations, my sewing machine was not cooperating with me.
Yes.
And so I didn't finish their costumes. But what I did is I deconstructed a blanket and I deconstructed a stuffed animal that I got from the thrift store so that I could use. It was actually a bunny, and I had the bunny head to be like the top, and I made a little chin strap so Millie would have bunny ears because I wanted to take a picture of her dressed up for a trash and treat when we were out litter picking at the dog park.
Yeah.
But she nursed that stuffy for the days that I had it before I decapitated it. She absolutely loved it. And now, like, the costume is still unfinished, but she keeps finding, like, the big tail that I made and, like, snuggling that. Or she'll keep finding the ears. Like, she just wants to play with it so
bad.
And
its doomsday is coming. We just don't know when.
I know.
So, yeah, that's a good option. The other thing that I would say would be to get toys made from natural materials. So, like, leather and rope. The other option is sticks. Sticks are a thing that dogs tend to cling to. Some dogs like to cling to sticks, and that's a good natural thing for them to chew on. I had a dash hound growing up that was given like a piece of root when he was a puppy, and I'm pretty sure the root when he first got it was longer than he was. And when he died at the age of 10, he had chewed that thing very slowly over the years to like 3 or 4 inches left to it. And it was his favorite. He had other sticks and he would destroy them or whatever, but this was his favorite. And he was buried with that stick.
Oh.
And he used to, once it got small enough, he used to like hold it in the side of his mouth like a big cigar as he walked around. It was quite amazing.
Millie and Coco have a toy that my mom gave them that they do that with. It's so funny. They'll just sit and it'll be hanging out of their mouth and it totally looks like a giant oversized cigar. Hilarious to see.
When it comes to cats, though, I don't understand why people buy cats toys. I don't get it. My cat's favorite toys are a broken shoelace, that thing you pull off milk cartons.
Oh, the little tab?
The little tab you pull off milk cartons.
Yeah.
The binding that was removed from an old agenda. You know, like the spiral binding?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I would have never thought of that. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, though.
I pulled one of those off to recycle the paper, and that is a great toy. What else? They have stolen a scrap of faux fur from my sewing, and that's a good toy. Like, I don't need to buy my cat's toys.
I love seeing, I don't have cats. My mom was allergic, and now my stepson is allergic. So unfortunately, they're just a very sweet, furry family member that will never come into our home. But I love when my friends send me pictures of their cats, especially playing in like boxes. It makes me so happy.
Well, I'll forward you some pictures. I got some good ones.
But even like boxes, it's such a simple thing.
Yes, they love boxes. Every time a box comes into the house, it stays for like a week before we get rid of it because it's new and interesting and the cats love it.
That's so cool.
So
Just to kind of rewind back, because I know we're talking toys, but we already talked about dogs destroying things that they shouldn't be. I know cats are generally notorious for scratching like the sofa or the carpet and ruining, like, do you find that's a problem in your house, or how
not
would you?
If the cats have somewhere they're allowed to scratch.
Okay.
So I have two cat trees. One's in the bedroom, and it's where they come sleep at night. And one is in the living room. In our living room, we actually have like wall shelves for the cats as well, because we don't live in a very big place, and we have three cats. So we try to expand their territory by letting them have more space on the wall. Mm-hmm. So I made a bridge, which is amazing. I'm very proud of my bridge. It's like a rope bridge.
Oh, cool.
And so there's two shelves with a rope bridge in between that they, and Spencer specifically likes to sleep on the bridge. But anyway, so we have the two cat trees, and they scratch those. And I mean, they've attempted to scratch the couch when it was new, because it was new and it looked like it would be something fun to scratch. And then you lay down the law and show them, like, give them praise for scratching the trees, and they get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, like, I've never had a problem. There are also sprays you can get to prevent cats from doing that, because they don't like the smell. And so they won't get their paws on it.
So with cats, because I know with dogs, the sprays are generally like a sour apple taste, and it's to stop because they destroy with their mouths. So with cats, you find it's a scent they don't want on their paws.
Yeah. Well, I imagine that when they scratch it, that scent comes out as well.
Yeah.
Right? It would probably emphasize the smell. But yeah, I imagine they don't want it on their scent. But I have used that. They're usually bitter sprays.
Okay, yeah, same with dogs.
So, I don't know. They don't like it.
Yeah.
If you have plant pot issues with cats, because some cats like the dirt in pots.
Some dogs, too.
Coffee grounds, orange peels. I've heard that crinkled up aluminum balls will keep them out. There are lots of different things you can do. We'll get to my wine, cheese, and dessert later, and I'll tell you a lovely story. But as far as scratching goes, I've never had a cat that wasn't trainable.
Yeah, that's good.
And I've had like 20 cats from the time I was born. I'm no stranger to cats. We've never really had a scratching problem.
But I guess, yeah, just making sure the key is that they have a safe place to scratch.
That's right.
That they're encouraged to use.
Same thing.
Yeah, just like with dogs.
Just like with dogs. With dogs, the behavior of destroying can also be mitigated with a proper amount of exercise, because sometimes they're just high energy and they need to do something, and this is right here. So I find it really funny that people tend to say, oh, apartment dogs should be smaller than X, because that is entirely not true.
Mm-hmm.
Great Danes are awesome apartment dogs. Okay. Border Collies, not awesome apartment dogs. Do not have a border collie that you keep in your apartment. I mean, maybe it works for you, but it's not the best combo. Yeah, so unless you're going to run your border collie twice a day, probably not the best living situation. And border collies are way smaller than Great Danes, but Great Danes are amazing apartment dogs because they just need to lope around. Greyhounds. Greyhounds are surprisingly great apartment dogs.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
They are fast, but they are generally lazy.
Oh, I didn't know that. I always assumed fast equals high energy.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people assume. But all of the greyhounds that I've ever met, groomed, seen in the pet store, they're all like lazy couch dogs.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. The goodies.
So it's like when they move, good luck catching them. Like if they see a rabbit and they want to chase after it and you drop the leash, good luck.
Bye.
But in your apartment, they will probably just be lazy and on your couch or their bed or wherever they're allowed to sleep. So
size does not dictate personality. And that's good too, not just for waste, but for general pet knowledge, to make sure if you're thinking of getting a dog or a cat, to read up about temperament and what's compatible for your home and your lifestyle.
Yeah, cats are harder that way because 99% of cats are just mutt cats.
Yeah.
There are personality traits associated with purebreds. I really want a Sphinx, which is one of the hairless cats.
Yeah. I at the shop, there's a locally owned framing shop just very close to me. I absolutely love it. And their shop cat is a Sphinx.
What? Okay, you need to tell me where this is.
It's called Frame of Mind. Okay. It's in Otwell. It's phenomenal.
I will have to go there. I'm like, I'm just here for the cat.
They used to have, they used to have a shop dog. They still do, Scribbles. And he's so mild-mannered and, like, has such a nice temperament. Like, he just hangs out. Like, Coco and Millie could never because they'd be way too excited for every single person that walked through. But Scribbles is such a good boy.
Yeah, it would probably calm down after a while.
Yeah. But,
yeah.
Like, you'll walk past and you'll see she'll just be in the bed in the window display, like, snoozing in the sun. It's
but
so
cute.
But a
Sphinx would be an excellent store cat.
Yeah. Oh, she is.
Yeah. Because they are very people-oriented. They're like, give me all the humans. I want the humans.
Yeah.
Whereas like two of my three cats are not very human friendly. Like, not that they're not friendly. They're just not. They don't care. They don't need you to approach them. They probably won't approach you. Then there's Spensa, who's like, what's this? What's going on? I want to know.
Yeah, and she love how good their personalities are.
So, I mean, it's harder to kind of narrow that personality down with a cat because they're not really bred for traits anymore. I mean, there are, but it's so much less common to find them that way.
I don't know much about cats, but generally speaking, like, I would totally agree. Just the cats that I do know from friends. Just to tie personalities back to toys, though, another way to avoid toy waste is making sure the toys that you get are ones that your pet is interested in. Even just with my girls, for example, Millie is not interested in balls at all. Coco is. And there are some balls, like really cheaply made tennis balls. She just loves to like chew down on them. I think she likes the bounce, but she'll destroy them in no time. So making sure like balls for Coco, ones that will last, and then tuggies or stuff. Millie loves to put stuff in her mouth and shake her head around like a maniac, but Coco's not interested in those.
On the topic of balls, I do want to let you know that like the cheap tennis balls you get at the dollar store or like tennis balls in general that are designed for tennis, they are very abrasive. Whereas the ones that are designed for dogs, like the tennis balls actually made for pets, are not abrasive. So they won't destroy their teeth.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that is something to think about with tennis balls specifically.
I didn't know that. That's really good information.
Yeah,
Coco, like, we bought her a tennis ball once and it was not the tea. It was no good for her. So we get the Chuck It balls, which are not a natural material, but they last.
They last. I love Chuck It toys.
Yeah. She does too.
I used to sell them and they were some of the best, most durable toys that we carried for sure. Chuck It is quality, long lasting. I wouldn't say it's necessarily eco-friendly in and of itself.
I agree with that. But that's something to think about too. When you're thinking about eco-friendly, are you thinking about something that you're going to, like, yes, it's a natural material, or yes, it's more sustainably made, but if you need to buy 20 of them to replace one of the less eco-friendly, you know what I mean? Like, which one is actually gentler on the planet?
I'm trying to remember what that brand of toy that I had that was like my eco-friendly brand at the time. Westpaw.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one. Westpaw.
All of the toys they make are made from this rubber. They're all the same rubber. And the rubber is, I believe, recycled and recyclable.
Oh, cool.
And it floats. And so that was one that I kept that was good quality, and also the material itself was thought through.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I like that. I made a note of it. I'll have to keep my eye out for it. Something else I've been doing for toys, for dogs anyways, that I think is a really sustainable choice is I've been making and selling, hopefully I'll have some at a few Christmas markets, upcycled dog tuggies. So I've been collecting old denim, like old work jeans.
I have denim for you.
I will take it. I make sure it's all clean because, I mean, that's cotton. and I turn it into tuggies, and I bring any of the, like, the seams, the pockets, like any parts of the jeans that I can't use to blenders for garment recycling. But I also have to cut out all the metal bits. So like the zipper, the buttons, those little metal, what are they called? Like rivets, the bits on the pocket? Yes. So I have to cut all of those out to make sure that like all of the material that I collect gets diverted from landfill. And it's great for the dogs because, I mean, it's a natural material. They're super durable. Even if they do start to become unfrayed and you're left with just like one knot and the strips. Honestly, I make some toys like that for Millie because she loves it, because it's great to whip around or to nibble on. So even as they start to be destroyed, they're still usable.
Mm-hmm. And then they're already upcycled, so it's not like you're creating new materials.
But it's tough because, and I think a lot of handmade businesses struggle with this, is that people don't, like, they expect something that takes, okay, so you have to go around, you have to collect, and then you have to clean, and then you have to process, and then you have to actually, like, make the thing, and then you have to set it to dry, and then you have to make sure that the rest of the fabric is being disposed of responsibly, and even cutting out all the metal stuff. Like, it's really time consuming.
Yeah.
But, like, it takes so much water and so much energy to make, like, just a single pair of jeans. And so, like, once, you know, the crotch is worn through, or the hems have frayed too much, or the fabric at the front is just worn too, like, thin, and they can't be used. Like, once they can't be worn anymore, I think there's still so much value in that material, and we need to make sure that we're not, like, just dismissing it as waste.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, usually one part of, like, for me, the same part wears out in all of my jeans.
Yes.
It's always the inner thigh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That part, or what I notice a lot is if pants are a little bit too long, like so many of the ones that I got, the hem at the back behind the heel is like disintegrating.
Yeah. See, as somebody who sews, I don't really have that problem because I always make sure that they're hemmed up.
Yeah.
A short person who knows how to sew.
Yeah. You've got the trick.
I know that I have to hem that up. Otherwise, yeah, I'd have that problem too.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think even if people are doing that themselves, like transforming their own either worn pants, or I used to do shirts, but they're a lot more inconsistent and takes a bit of time, but totally possible to transform like old clothes that no longer provide dignity into toys.
Yeah, cool.
Mm-hmm. And they love it too because it smells like people. Same thing with the secondhand stuffies, right? Like it smells like they're humans.
Yeah, I really like the idea of like the kid is like, I've grown out of this, I will give it to my dog. And like, yeah.
Well, and it makes him feel good too. It makes him feel generous. And then it makes him happy when he sees them cuddling it. Like, and especially when he goes back to his mom's house, I especially notice Millie right now. It's a little penguin that he gave her and it hasn't been destroyed yet because when he's at his mom's, I see her snuggling it all the time. It's so cute. It's so cute.
So clothes turned into dog toys.
Yep. Human clothes.
Human clothes turned into dog toys, which reduces the clothing waste, and then you don't have to buy new stuff for your toys. But then there's also clothing for dogs, because that's a thing.
Yeah, especially in our climate, where we go from plus 30 to minus 30 in a year, that has got to be so tough on short-haired dogs. I mean, both of my girls have thick coats, so they don't. Maybe the odd time we need booties so their paws don't freeze.
Mm-hmm.
But we've never needed clothes for dogs. And I realize some people do it out of necessity and some people do it out of passion.
Yes.
But
so if you like having a million outfits for your dog, then I would recommend thrifting.
Totally.
So if it's clearly fashion, then go and find thrifted stuff because you're creating a need for something that, like, just try to minimize, just like human fashion, just try to minimize the fast fashion process. Mm-hmm. So thrifting would be my suggestion for that. If you are specifically looking for keeping your dog warm with booties and like a warm jacket, which I totally get, then yeah, I would emphasize quality and taking good care of these items overall.
Yeah.
Because it's a legitimate thing. The opposite side of that is if you have a big hairy dog, if you shave it in the summer, that's actually not good for them.
I read up about that actually because Millie has really thick white coat. We think she's got to have like some husky in her, maybe even some Great Pyrenees. We really don't know. But she sheds like crazy. And I remember looking up, is it okay? And I'm sure you know much more about this than I do, but how their fur actually protects them from the sun, especially when it's white, mm-hmm. it will reflect it. And without that, it could like they could have some skin problems, sunburn.
Bugs.
Yeah.
The other thing is like people tend to think that their dog panting means that they are uncomfortable. But panting is a dog's way of cooling down. Like that's normal. And if your dog is panting in the summer, like that is entirely expected to happen. And you can shave him down to the skin. He's still going to pant. Still going to be hot.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. The best thing you can do with a thick coat is keep it well brushed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like a tufty coat is not going to breathe well, and that's going to make them uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But shaving it off ruins the coat. It ruins the natural cycle of the coat so that it can shed properly. And then they won't have the proper coat in the wintertime to keep them warm either.
Oh, I never thought of that. You would just think it regrows. And so
it actually goes through a cycle, which is why they're constantly shedding, right? And so most of those double-coated dogs, such like you have, they will shed more in the spring and more in the fall because they're changing coats.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm very aware of that right now.
And so if you want to do like the minimal amount of like heavy grooming with your dog, at least get those double-coated dogs done in the spring and the fall.
When you
notice that they're getting tufty or they're shedding a little bit extra, take them in, get them completely cleaned out so that their coat can continue to do that natural cycle of shedding. And I know it sucks to have hair in your house, but it's best for the dog to be the most comfortable during the hot times and the cold times.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and that is helpful too with if you're grooming at the right time, that's going to be less dog hair. You might have to do less laundry. You can use, well, if you have a reusable lint roller.
Lint rollers.
That's great instead of the ones with the sticky stuff. Yeah. So hopefully it means you're reducing the amount of times you're having to wash your clothes, your couch covers. Yeah. Like there's other day-to-day tasks that obviously are linked with that. So hopefully a proper grooming schedule not only helps you help your dog, but helps you with your routine and your maintenance.
Yep. And then keeping them warm with the clothing and then maintaining the clothing by keeping it clean. But
do you have suggestions for like what type of like say you are wanting not like a fashion fit for the dog, but or cat, I guess some people let their cats out with little booties. I suspect. I don't know. But do you have suggestions for types of materials to either look out for and like buy or to avoid when it comes to like warmth items?
Not really. I mean, dogs and cats don't naturally need clothes. So
it's like a little skinny, like, you know, like the really short haired dogs and like
Chihuahua,
for example, that like vibrate at room
which,
temperature.
You know, Chihuahuas are from Mexico. Like they're designed to be in that climate. So no, I totally get why you would want to put a jacket on a Chihuahua in the wintertime or booties on a Chihuahua in the wintertime. I know some dogs will do the little paw lifty thing when their paws start to get cold on the cement because they're not really naturally supposed to walk on cement, right? Like it's extra cold on their paws. When it comes to cats, I would say the only thing you ever need to put on a cat is a collar or a harness. Never leave a cat on a harness unattended and never walk a cat on a collar. The best thing you can do to keep your cat warm, if it's an indoor-outdoor cat, give them free access to be able to come in and out as they feel they need to. They will come in when they're cold.
Yeah.
If your cat doesn't have that free access to come inside when they want to, give them a warm place. So a good thing is like an old cooler with a hole cut out in it in a bed, and then they can crawl in there and they'll keep themselves warm in the insulated cooler.
Which I was just at the thrift store and there were tons of old coolers there.
Yeah. I don't think it's hard to find an old used cooler if it's got a crack in it, right? Like someone can't throw ice in there because it's going to leak. but mm-hmm. a cat can stay warm in it.
Yeah.
Right?
Totally.
So I don't think clothing for cats is ever necessary. I think that there are better solutions.
Cool.
With dogs, cool. I think clothing is more reasonable and a very logical thing to do is to put a winter jacket on your chihuahua to keep his chest warm. Like the fashion items, like the dresses and stuff, I personally don't get. But yeah. if you're into that, cool. I would just really love to see you try to minimize the new materials put into that.
Yeah, that's wise.
So I didn't realize we had this much to say on pets, honestly. I think what we'll do is we will carry on next week. What do you think?
I love that idea. I actually, before we talked, I'm like, oh, this one will be so quick. I hope we have enough to say that we can fill an entire episode. And lo and behold, I think you're absolutely right. We have enough for two.
Okay. We will continue next week.
Absolutely.
Cool. Okay. Well, thank you all for listening. Thank you to Change Toothpaste who sponsor this podcast. They make it free for us to do because we are all volunteers here, but podcasting is not free. Thank you to our patrons on Patreon who support waste reduction efforts, big and small, in Edmonton, Alberta. And there are a lot of behind the scenes stuff that not just going towards the cost of the podcast, that money actually goes to Waste Free Edmonton, where they do a lot of good as far as waste reduction for the city as a whole. If you want to reach out to us, you can reach becomingless at becominglesspod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at becominglesspod, or you can go to wastefree.ca/becominglesspod for all the ways to connect and listen. Until next time, we can all be a little less than we were yesterday. Are you excited to talk about pets?
Yeah.